Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Hulin Daf Kuf Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 9 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Aleph. Before learning the Gemara, which begins today in the middle of the line with the words Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, let us glance to the side of the Gemara, the outside margin, where you will notice we have a Nosei Mivneh. Nosei is a topic heading, Mivneh a structural note, where we combine the two, a topic heading and structural note, in one note. We have a diamond featured. As you will see in the Gemara, a few diamonds appear in the next few lines. They highlight the expressions Nevela, Ola, and Shor Haniskal. We have written Ha'oichel Gid Hanoshe Shelahem. If one were to eat the Gid Hanoshe of either a Nevela, a Ola, a Korban Ola, a special type of sacrifice, and a Shor Haniskal, this is an animal that killed a person and was sentenced by the court to death. Kamo Chayovim. How many offenses would one be guilty of if he eats the Gid Hanoshe of one of these things? The topic that we will be discussing in general terms is called Isser Chal Al Isser. Can a second Isser be superimposed on an original Isser, on something that has already been forbidden? Once again, can a second prohibition be attached to something that already carries with it a prohibition? We will mention terms like Isser Koleil. An Isser Koleil is a situation where a second Isser affects things that the first Isser, the first prohibition, did not affect. And as a result of new things being affected by the second prohibition, we might say, Migu, since the Isser, this new status, or this new prohibition, affects other things, other new things, it will also be able to be superimposed on that which was already Usser. In other words, since the second Isser is kicking in for the first time regarding other things, it also can attach itself to that which was already Usser. Of course, what we're saying right now is a bit vague. We will appreciate this only as we go into the Gemara a bit later. Another point that will be featured is something called an Isser Chomor. In other words, this whole topic of Isser Chal Al Isser, does a second Isser set in on something that was already Usser, is the subject of controversy. Not everyone agrees that Isser Chal Al Isser. However, even those that say a second Isser, a second prohibition, doesn't set in on something, set upon something that's already forbidden, nevertheless, there are exceptions. Some may hold that if the second Isser is not only going to include other things, but it also has a stringency that the original prohibition did not have, then and only then, these opinions will say Isser Chal Al Isser. We will also see Rabbi Yossi Haglili as being Hu Hatano Shelesle Isser Chal Al Isser Afilu B'Isser Koleil. We will be looking for who is the Tana that holds that a second Isser does not set in upon a first Isser, upon something that's already prohibited, even if the second Isser, the second prohibition, includes other things that the first one did not include. But if the second prohibition is of greater stringency, then it will attach itself to that which was already forbidden. Let us now turn to the Gemara, and hopefully through learning the Gemara we'll be able to add understanding to the introduction we just gave. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav, Ho'ichel gid hanoshe shel nevela. If one were to eat the gid hanoshe of an animal that was not slaughtered, that simply died, or it received an incorrect slaughtering, that's called a nevela. Rabbi Meir Mechayev Shtayim. Rabbi Meir says that for eating the gid hanoshe of such a thing, a nevela, he is in violation of two offenses. The two offenses would be, well, he's eating gid hanoshe, and he's also eating nevela. V'chachomim omrim eino chayav elo achas. The Chachomim say he is chayav only for one offense. Umoidim Chachomim l'Rabbi Meir. The Chachomim will concede to Rabbi Meir. The oichel gid hanoshe shel oila v'shel shor haniskal shechayev shtayim. If one were to eat the gid hanoshe of an ola sacrifice or a shor haniskal, he will be in violation of two offenses. In the case of this admission or acceptance, where the Chachamim agree that there will be two offenses, in other words, Isser, Chal al Isser, in the case of Ola and Shor HaNiskal, that is because the second Isser, in the case of an Ola, where the animal originally, when before it was declared to be an Ola, it was an animal that was Mutter Bahano. And likewise, before it became a Shor HaNiskal, before it was sentenced to death because it had killed someone, the animal was Mutter Banoa, and only the Gid Hanoshe was prohibited. When the owner dedicated it as an Ola, or it was sentenced to death by the court, a new status set upon it. They became now forbidden Bahanoa, whereas prior to this, Ola or Shor HaNiskal status, only the Gid HaNoshe was really forbidden. The rest of the animal was Mutter. But when they become Ola or Shor HaNiskal, the meat, the rest of the animal becomes Usser. And therefore, what we have is an Iser Kolel, which says that since the rest of the animal now becomes Usser Behano, because of its Ola or Shor HaNiskal status, therefore that status can set upon the Gid HaNoshe also, even though the Gid HaNoshe was already Usser from beforehand. As we continue in the Gemara now seeks an identification of this opinion, the opinion of the Chachomim. We saw that in the case of the Gid Hanoshe of Nevela, they were not willing to say Isser Chalal Isser, namely the second Isser of Nevela isn't going to attach itself to the Gid. So if one were to eat, according to the Chachomim, the Gid Hanoshe of an animal that dropped dead, he's in violation only of Gid Hanoshe. The second violation, namely of Nevela, does not attach itself. However, in the case of Ola and Shor HaNiskal, we say that the second Isser does attach itself, so that if one eats the Gid HaNoshe of an Ola or Shor HaNiskal, he is in violation not only of eating Gid HaNoshe, but also benefiting from Ola or Shor HaNiskal. The Gemara asks, Uman Hai Tana, who is the Chachomim, the Be'iser Kolel, Iser Chalal Iser Lesle, that even though the second Iser, for example, in the case of Nevela, was an Iser Kolel, namely, before the animal became a Nevela, the meat was Mutter, the Gid alone was Usser. When it became a Nevela, so now the meat became Usser. So one might have thought that since the meat becomes usur, this is the isur nevela manifests itself on the meat, it can also, one would have thought, manifest itself on the gid as well. But yet we see the chachamim say not so. So who is this chachamim that says that in a standard isur kolel, isur halal isur, he does not hold from? In other words, second isur does not attach itself. And yet, isur kolel, the isur chomor islay, but if you have an isur kolel where the second isur, the second prohibition, is of greater stringency than the original one, as is the case in Ola and Shor HaNiskal, where before they became those things respectively, only the gid was usur and the meat was mutter, when they became Ola or Shor HaNiskal, now the meat becomes usur, but not also on the same level as gid, namely a simple negative prohibition, but a greater prohibition. The prohibition is called isur chomor in the sense that it's now usur bahano. You can't even benefit from it. You can't sell it and enjoy the money. So who is this Tana that holds that a standard isur kolel, we don't say isur halal isur, but yet if that second prohibition is of greater stringency in nature, then the second isur will attach itself to the first isur, and eating the gid of Ola and Shor HaNiskal will be chayav two offenses. So the Gemara answers, Omar Rava, Rabbi Yossi Haglili Hi. This is according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And as you'll notice in the Gemara, we have a long answer marking. This is illustrated by the letter Tuf that's encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara, Tuf standing for Teretz, with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this form the answer. So Rava says that the Tana we're looking for is Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Disnan. Now we have a Tanaic source that's featured, and in this source we will see Rabbi Yossi Haglili appear. We want to emphasize at this point that this source is brought in to show that Rabbi Yossi Haglili does not hold from Isser Halal Isser, even if it's an Isser Kolel. We're not going to see in an explicit fashion that in the case of Isser Kolel, where the second Isser is more chomor, Rabbi Yossi Haglili concedes, but rather the Gemara will be saying by the fact that he doesn't disagree in that case, in the case where the second Isser is more chomor, it must be that he actually concedes that in such a case there is Isser Chal al Isser. So let us see this Tanaic source, and you can see the next few lines are in a frame indicating, and according to our marking system, that this is a Tanaic source. Tomei she'ochal kodesh. A person who was tomei, and he ate kodesh, sacrificial meat. Bein kodesh tomei, bein kodesh tohar. Whether the meat was tomei or the meat was tohar. Chayav. Chayav means if he did it unwittingly, he would be chayav to bring a chatas, a sin offering. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, and we want to focus primarily on Rabbi Yossi Haglili, he says, Tomei she'ochal es ha-tohor chayav, Tomei she'ochal sa-tomei potter. He makes a distinction between a person who's tomei who ate something that's tohor, that would be chayav. However, chayav to bring a chatas. However, if someone was tomei who happened to eat tomei meat, potter, shelo ochal elo dover tomei. It's at this point that he disagrees with the Tanakama. The Tanakama said that a tomei shochal es ha tomei will be chayav achatos. Omru lo. So the Rabbonon addressed Rabbi Yossi Haglili and say, how can you make this distinction? Af tomei shochal sator, even the case of tomei that eats tohor, that you want to say is chayav, well, kevon shenogabo timeu. As soon as he touches it, as soon as the tomei person touches the tohor meat, it's no longer tohor. So it's in effect the case of tomei shachas tomei. So why do you make any distinction? Shapir ko'amri le rabbonon Rabbi Yossi Haglili. The Gemara says that it appears at first glance that the rabbonon have a valid point. They are saying well in arguing with Rabbi Yossi Haglili. The Omar Rava now qualifies. Benitmo haguf v'achakach nitmo bosor kule alma lo pligi dechayev. If you're talking about a case where the person became tomei, and only afterwards the meat that he is going to eat becomes tameh. Kulei alma, everyone agrees. Kulei alma lo pligi, everyone agrees. Dechayov, that there is a chiyuv chatos. Why? The iser kores kodim. The iser kores is a reference to tumas haguf. Tumas haguf, if a person who is tome and eats korbonos, so he's chayav kores, or if he's tome and goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he is chayav kores. That's the iser kores is a reference to the tumas haguf. Kodim, that set in first. And on a shogeg level, on an unwitting commission or violation of something that carries with it, when done knowingly, a chiyuv kores, he brings a korban chatos. So we have here a case where first the circumstances that would warrant kores set in first, namely tumas haguf, and even though the meat becomes tomei later on, that doesn't undo the kores status that's set in at the beginning. And it's the kores status that, when done b'shogeg, generates the chiyuv, the obligation to bring a korban chatas. So that is not the case of controversy. Ki pligi, under what circumstances does the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagree? Benitmo bosar v'achar kach nitmo haguf. Don't forget, we saw in the Tanaic source that Tomei Shochasa Tomei is going to be a point of controversy between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Tanna Kamma. The order of events are of utmost importance. So the Gemara says that their argument concerns a case where the meat became Tomei first, v'achar kach nitmo haguf, and then the person became Tomei. We might as well point out that a person who is tohor, that happened to eat tomei korban meat, he is in violation of a lav, but not of a chiyuv kores. The chiyuv kores is associated primarily with tumas haguf, or almost we should say exclusively with tumas haguf. What happens here, where first the meat became tomei, so the meat was already forbidden to be eaten, and then the person became tomei. And at that point, he eats this meat that was tomei earlier. Rabbonon islu iser kolel. The Rabbonon hold from the concept of iser halal iser when you have an iser kolel. Now, this term iser kolel might still be vague to some of you. So here the Gemara explains the iser kolel in action. Demigu demechayev achatichos tohoros di alma. Since, migu means since he now that he's become tomei tumas haguf, since now he's become tomei, a new area of iser sets in, namely, he becomes forbidden to eat all other tohor pieces of meat. So since the iser of tumas haguf is now starting for the first time regarding other pieces, mechayiv nami achaticho tamea, it also is able to be superimposed on that piece of meat that was already tomei. So according to this, the Rabbanon hold that eating a piece of tomei meat with the new tumas haguf will be mechayev him, if done b'shogeg, a korban chatos, because he is considered a person eating b'tumas haguf. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, less lay iser kolel. Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't hold from iser chalal iser, even when you're dealing with iser kolel, where the second iser is now setting upon other things for the first time. Demigu lo amrinon. He doesn't hold from this approach called migu. Since it's chal, since it's now setting upon other things, it can also set upon and attach itself to something that was already forbidden. The Gemara now asks a question lasting a few lines, and we have a long question marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, indicated by the kuf that's encircled with the vertical descending dashed line. Verbiosi aglili, nihi de iser kolel les le be iser kal. Granted that Rabbi Yossi Haglili will not accept second Isser attaching to first Isser when the second Isser is in fact a light type of Isser. Isser Kal means a light type of Isser. For example, if the first prohibition was forbidden as a lav, and the second prohibition carries with it the same low level of offense, so the second prohibition doesn't set in. However, my question is, Yavo Isser Chomor Yochol al Isser Kal, let the more stringent second Isser, second prohibition, attach itself to the original lighter prohibition. Umaynihu, what's the second prohibition in our discussion that is of greater stringency? Tumas haguf, sherei tumas haguf bekores. The piece of meat that originally was tame carried with it only a lav, a negative prohibition upon violating. That's it. It's called a simple lav. Now that he's become tame tumas haguf, this situation, if he were to eat other meat, other sacrificial meat, he's chayiv kores. And that's a much heavier offense than simply being violation of a lav. So why does Rabbi Yossi Aguli say that in this case, where it was nitma boser and then nitma aguf, that he is not chayiv to bring a chatas? Omar Rav Ashi, man le malon de tumas aguf hamura. Who is to say that this second iser, namely the or status of tumas aguf, is more stringent than the tumas bosar, the tuma that was on the piece of meat? Dilma tumas bosar hamura. Maybe instead of looking at the punishment, let's look at another aspect of things, and through this we will see that the tumah that's attached to the meat is actually more stringent than the tumah attached to one's body. And how is that? Deles lei tara b'mikveh. Tumas boser doesn't have a solution of being immersed in a mikveh. In other words, if once the boser is tamei, that's it. It can't become tohar. However, a person who became tamei, even though on the punishment level it seems to be more strict in that he gets, there's a chiv kores, nevertheless, on the other level, the issue of does it have to remain, is it a permanent type of tumah, it's a lighter issue insofar as the person can always achieve purification through a mikveh, which is not the case when it comes to food. It's pointed out, and just to review the whole reason for this discussion, that you can see from this discussion that Reb Yossi Haglili, though Isser Chalal Isser B'Isser Kolel, he says, does not set in, a second Isser does not set in on something that was already Usser. However, if the second Isser had in fact been of a stricter nature, then Rabbi Yossi Aglili himself would have conceded that the second prohibition attaches itself to that which was already forbidden. It's just that in this case, with the Tumas Haguf and the Tumas Basar, it's not clear that the Tumas Haguf, which sets in second place or afterwards, is in fact more Chomor. It may in fact not be so. It might be lighter. The Gemara on the top of Amud Beis continues with a question. The question lasts a few lines. It takes in the Tanaic source that you can see is in a frame. So the Gemara here asks, Rabbi Yossi Aglili lesle Yisr Kolel. Is it so? We're questioning our whole assumption that we've made till now, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that there is no Isr Chalal Isr, even though the second Isr is an Isr Kolel. But is that really so? V'hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source in which we will see two Isurim, and it will appear as we go through the upcoming source that Rabbi Yossi Haglili acknowledges Isur Chal al Isur when you're dealing with an Isur Kolel. V'hotanya, we have the following source, Shabbos V'yom Kippurim, two very holy days that happen to come out together in this particular case. That, in other words, it's a Shabbos that happens to be Yom Kippur. Shogag the Osa Malocha. A person forgot himself, and he went ahead and did constructive activity, which is ordinarily forbidden on these days. Minayin shechayev alze be'atzmo ve'alze be'atzmo. From where do we know that he will be in violation of both Shabbos and Yom Kippur? In other words, each Isser stands on its own, and since there are two days that happen to fall out together, named two holidays that fall out on the same day, each one, though, has its own separate identity, and each one thereby generates a separate offense. So how, from where do we know that he'll be considered in violation of two offenses if he does malacha on Shabbos Yom Kippur? Talmud Lomar, Shabbos hi, Yom Kippur hu. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. This source is citing terms from two psukim. Each term, Shabbos hi, indicates Shabbos has its own identity, and Yom Kippurim hu, indicating Yom Kippur has its own identity. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Well, we see that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that Isser Chalal Isser in a case of Isser Kola, where the second Isser has aspects to it that the first Isser did not have. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Chayov Elo Achas. Rabbi Akiva, he is of the opinion that Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. Just for the sake of further illustration or explanation, when you look at Yom Kippur, let us say Yom Kippur versus Shabbos, had it been just Shabbos, there is an Isser of doing Malacha, but it's mutter on Shabbos to eat. It's allowed, one is allowed to eat on Shabbos. Now that is Shabbos Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur carries with it an additional prohibition, namely eating, and therefore this could be described as an Isser Kolel situation. Whereas, just to review ourselves, Shabbos itself was prohibited only in Malacha but Mutter Nachila. Comes along Yom Kippur with its unique additional prohibition of eating, and we could say, since Yom Kippur carries with it the prohibitions regarding eating, so the Yom Kippur aspect can be chal, can attach itself to Shabbos with insofar as Malacha is concerned as well. What we see here is that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is acknowledging Isser Chal al Isser by virtue of the fact that if it's Shabbos Yom Kippur and he does Malacha, he's chayev for both. He's considered guilty of having been in violation of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Sholach Rovin Mishum de Rabbi Yossi Bechanina. Kach Hatzo'o Shel Mishneh. The Tanaic source as it appears is to remain as it is. However, V'epuch, switch around the opinions. And as a result of switching around the opinions, Rabbi Yossi Aglili will take on that which we see as Rabbi Akiva's opinion and say that if it's Shabbos Yom Kippur and he does Malacha, he'll be chayev only for one offense. The Gemara continues analyzing this Tanaic source. Sholach Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yankiv bar Guri Mishum Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchok sends in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the following: L'divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, l'mai da'afchon. According to the way we're presenting Rabbi Yossi Aglili right now, based on the switch around, and that means Rabbi Yossi Aglili will be mechayev only one offense. In other words, if it's Shabbos Yom Kippur and he does malacha, he does malacha, so he's considered in violation of only one of the 2 days. It's worth pointing out that when Rabbi Yossi Gleev says he's chayav only one, that was a case where he was totally shogeg. He was shogeg he was unaware with regard to it being Shabbos and unaware of it being Yom Kippur. We say he's chayav one. For which one is he in fact chayav? So one will, by learning Rashi, will discover that the chiyuv is for Shabbos. Shabbos is the aspect or the element that generates the chiyuv chatos. Why that is will be the point of discussion or will be mentioned later in the Gemara. But as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to now see a variation on the theme. So according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, that says, Shabbos Yom Kippur, if he does Malacha, and he's unaware of both of the days, he's chayav only one, and we said that the one that he's chayav for essentially is because of Shabbos. We should also point out before we go on in the Gemara that a Korban Chatos is brought only in the event that the violation was done unwittingly. However, if one was mazed, he knowingly committed the offense, there is no bringing of a sin offering. There is no Korban Chatos. So we continue now in the Gemara. Shogag b'Shabbos v'hezid b'yom ha-Kippurim. Let us say there was a person who was not aware of it being Shabbos, but was aware of it being Yom Kippur, and he went ahead and did Malacha anyway. So we say Chayav. He is Chayav a Korban Chatos. Why? Because of his lack of awareness of it having been Shabbos. Hazid b'Shabbos v'shogag v'yom ha-Kippurim poter. If he was aware of it being Shabbos, but unaware of it being Yom Kippur, he is potter, meaning he is completely exempt. Why is there exemption? So on the first level, we say, as far as Shabbos is concerned, he was mazed. He violated knowing that it was Shabbos. In such a case, when there's mazed, so there's no Korban Chatos. Well, what about the fact that he was shogeg with regard to Yom Kippur? So, why is he exempt even so? Let us see how this figures in the Gemara. My taima. So the Gemara asks, why is it the way it is? Why? So we have here two approaches, one of Abaye, and a few lines later, Rava. Omar Abaye, Shabbos kviya v'kaima. Shabbos is considered to have preeminence insofar as it being kviya v'kaima, it's established. Shabbos is established by virtue of the creation of the world. On the seventh day, the Kodesh Baruch Hu declared Shabbos. It has nothing to do with courts and witnesses testifying about new moons and thereby establishing Shabbos. Shabbos is kaviyah v'kaima. It's established from the very beginning. Yom HaKippurim, on the other hand, Beidina dekokavi lei. Yom Kippur is established by virtue of the fact that the court sat in session and declared the new month beginning whenever it began. It's a function then of court involvement. Let us glance at the Rashi. Omar Abaye. Rashi that we're looking at is in the wide lines under the Tosfos, the second wide line of the Rashi. Omar Abaye. Kosover of Yochanan, Tahu Chatos de Machaver Bioseglili, B'shogag bozeh bozeh. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the one chatos that he brings in the case of his he was unknowing of Shabbos and Yom Kippur, ad Shabbos ko mechayev le. He's bringing it because of violating the Shabbos. The ihu kadmei. The reason is that Shabbos came first. The ad Yom HaKippurim hu de poter le. And as far as the having been shogeg also with regard to Yom Kippur, that carries with it exemption. Hilkoch ki hezid b'Shabbos b'shogag b'Yom HaKippurim, Therefore, in a case that he violated Shabbos knowingly and was shogeg only with regard to Yom Kippur, poter legamri, the ein mevi'in korban al hamezid. The only reason for having to bring a korban in the first place, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is for the Shabbos. But since here he did the Shabbos violation, the mezid, so there is no korban whatsoever. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar lay Rava. Rava addresses Abaye and says, "Sof sof travayu bahadi hadodi ka'asu." In our case, it's not accurate to say that Shabbos came before Yom Kippur. When the holiday sets in, as far as on a practical basis, if they set in together, they set in simultaneously. And underlying this question is that even though you may hold that Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, that's when you have a second Isser becoming setting in after the first one. However, where the two Isurim set in at the same time, why is it that you say he's Chayev only one? Let us take a look at the Rashi. Sof sof travayu bahadi adodi kasu. The ein kan achron. You don't have a later one versus an earlier one. The al korchuk kipoter le'Rabbi Yosi Aglili mishum dekosavar kevan debekodel umoisif ein isur chalal isur mish beisur bas achas ato beisur bas achas, where two isurim set in at the same time. Nami lo mechayev elochado. He would be chayav only one. The inami hazid be'echod mehem hare shigeras chavero omedes v'chayav. What Rashi is explaining is that in asking this question, in Abaye, in asking this question, is I don't understand why, in the case of hazid b'shabbos v'shogeg b'yom kippur, why is he poter? Granted that Ein Isser Chalal Isser, and as a result of that, you say he's Chayav only one, but there remains one for which he still is Shogeg, namely Yom Kippur. So I don't understand, says Rava, according to your Hesber, according to Abaye, why is he totally exempt with regard to the Yom Kippur issue? Elo Omar Rava, a second and brand new approach. Rava points out that the source in which we, or not, we say Rabbi Yochanan, who Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov was quoting, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a very special case, Shmoda Havi. It was a year that the Goyim, that the Gentiles, had issued regulations against the observance of Yom Kippur. In other words, the Gentiles, as has been the case many times through history, were trying to pressure the Jews into violating Judaism. That's called Shmad, Shmado Have. And that is the year that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov was addressing in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Shalchumitom, and that year they had sent the Yoima de Kippuri de Hoshosa Shabbata Hu, that they will observe Yom Kippur not on its official day, not on its expected calendar day, but they will observe Yom Kippur that year on Shabbos. In other words, the Goyim were interested in the Jews not celebrating Yom Kippur. However, Shabbos was not the focus of their attention. So they couldn't, at the risk of life, observe Yom Kippur in the middle of the week as it was supposed to be. So the Rabbonin said that year they will observe Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Therefore, when we speak about his being mazid b'Shabbos and shogeg about Yom Kippur, he did melacha knowing it was Shabbos. So in a case of mazid, so he is, of course, doesn't bring a korban chatos. But when we say it was shogeg with regard to Yom Kippur, it wasn't even Yom Kippur. It wasn't officially Yom Kippur. Therefore, he does not bring a Korban Chatos, because in actuality, he wasn't violating Yom Kippur. V'chein ki osa rovin, v'chol nechusi yomo, v'chul nechusi, amrua kirova. Rovin and all the other nechusi, all the other travelers, said like Rava, like this explanation. So with this explanation, we understand why, if he's mazed b'Shabbos and shogig Yom Kippur, he is potter. Very simply, because it wasn't really Yom Kippur at all. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Valo Mibnei Yankiv. Rabbi Yaakov in the Mishnah said that the prohibition of Gid Hanasha applies to unkosher variety animals as well. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin to our nosei, our topic heading. We have a couple points. Hesber Shitas HaChachomim, we're going to delve more into the Shita of the Chachomim. Delo Nesar Gid Hanasha Bevehema Tamea. The Chachomim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda hold that the Gid Hanasha of an unkosher riding animal is not prohibited as Gid. And another issue that will surface is, from what point in history Mimasai Nikru'u B'nei Yisrael? From what point in history were we called B'nei Yisrael? Of what significance is that? Well, the Torah says Al Kein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael as Gid Hanasha. The prohibition is directed at B'nai Yisrael. So it's of importance to us to know from what point they were called, or from what point were we called B'nai Yisrael. We already saw Rabbi Yehuda mentioning that Gid Hanasha does apply to Bebehemot Tameya, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Isser existed from the time of Bnei Yaakov. Bnei Yaakov in Sefer Bereishis, long before the giving of the Torah. At that point, they were allowed to eat horses and camels and all other unkosher variety animals, and yet they were warned not to eat its Gid Hanasha. So we see that Gid Hanasha applies to unkosher variety animals, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbonin, though, disagree. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source featuring the Chachomim, who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Omru lo Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachomim who exempt Behemot Tamea from Gid Hanasha said to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chi ne'mar al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yankiv. Does the Pasuk say, therefore, the B'nai Yaakov should not eat Gid Hanasha? V'alo lo ne'mar, elo B'nai Yisrael. The term in the Torah is B'nai Yisrael. They are prohibited from eating Gid Hanasha. V'alo nikru B'nai Yisrael ad Sinai. And the term B'nai Yisrael did not set in until the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Elo B'Sinai ne'mar. The prohibition of Gid Hanasha was in fact stated for the first time at the giving of the Torah. Elo shenichtav bimkomo leida meizetan nes alehem. The fact that there's a record of the prohibition of Gid Hanasha written in Sefer Bereishis before Matan Torah, that's only to remind us of why Gid Hanasha became forbidden, namely as a result of the fight with the angel of Esav. But it didn't become usher from that point. Mosiv Rava. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael isyankiv avihim. Here's a pasuk using the term b'nei Yisrael at a time before Matan Torah. This is describing the b'nei Yisrael with their father Yankiv Avinu. So we see that before Matan Torah they were called b'nei Yisrael. The Gemara answers, or the Gemara says that this does not raise an objection. This does not serve as reason for prohibiting Gid Hanasha prior to Mount Sinai. This was La'achar Maise. Let us look at Rashi, second line from the very bottom of the page. La'achar maisa, la'achar oisa maisa shneva gimoi lizman merubo bevo mipadon arom. This pasuk refers to Bnei Yisrael a long time after the fight with the angel. V'kodesh Baruch Hu koro Yisrael. The Kodesh Baruch Hu called him that. Tichtiv lo yikushmo shimcha od yankiv ki'im Yisrael. The Gemara goes on with a question. Omar le Rav Acho breid Ravo le Rav Ashi. Me'ahi shaita litzar. So if you're saying that this pasuk by Yisu Bnei Yisrael was after the incident involving the fight with the angel, so at least from that point, Gid Hanoshe should have become prohibited, and if that be the case, Gid Hanoshe would be applicable to Behema Tamea as well, because still we're at a point before the giving of Torah when Behema Tameas were allowed to be eaten, and they're referred to as Bnei Yisrael, and we know that Bnei Yisrael are not allowed to eat Gid Hanoshe, so they would not be allowed to eat the Gid Hanoshe of the animals they were at that time eating, namely all the Behema Tameas. Omar Leh, so Rav Ashi answers, we cannot forbid the Gid Hanoshe from that point, the point of Vayitzu Bnei Yisrael. V'chi Torah pa'omim nitna. Do you think the Torah was given in stages? Hahu shaita, the posuk, the timing of that posuk, or the time when that was mentioned by Yisu Bnei Yisrael, that time, lav shas maisa havoi, that was not at the point of the fight with the angel. V'lo shas matan Torah havoi, it wasn't the point of time in the giving of the Torah. And being that it's not here nor there, the suggestion of having Gid Hanoshe become relevant from that point, from the point of Vayisu Bnei Yisrael, falls away. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new discussion, a new sugya, and we have a topic heading in the outside margin, Sugyas Eiver Minachai. The Gemara now will delve into the topic of a limb removed from a living animal. When we say a living animal, what is included in that? So we have a Tanaic source in which a Machlokas Tanoim appears. Eiver min achai noheg bevehemo chaya v'oif. The prohibition of a limb from living animal applies to domesticated and undomesticated animals, and oif and birds, bein tamein, bein tamein, whether they be unkosher variety or kosher variety. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Elazar. V'chachomim oimrim, eino noeg ela b'tahorim. The Chachomim say that the prohibition of Eiver min achai applies only to kosher variety animals. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, ushneim mikro echo dorshu. Both the first opinion and second opinion darshan the same psukim. They look at the same psukim and come out with different conclusions. The Pasuk says, in Dvorim Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chof Gimel, Rak Chazak Vilti Achol Hadam, Ki Hadam Hu Hanefesh. And the Gemara at the top of Kuf Beis Omar Aleph continues, Loi Seichal Hanefesh Im Habosar. One should not eat the Nefesh together with the Bosar. Rashi says, "Loi soichal hanefesh im abosar." At the top line, "Loi soichal mimenu." Don't eat from it. The od shanefesh imo, while the nefesh is still with it. Vezui azhora le'ever min achai. This is a warning of the Torah, a negative commandment to desist from ever min achai. At this point, what's of interest to us is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar versus the Rabbanan. As you've seen in our markings, we have squiggle underlined the names. We also have a long point marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a nun, which represents nekuda, a point that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line, indicating that all of these lines of Gemara develop the point in which we see an explanation for the two shitas. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Safri, they are of the opinion, and just to review, they hold that Gid HaNosh, the Aver Menachai prohibition, the prohibition of living, of limb from living animal, applies across the boards. So they hold like this. They Safri, they hold, Kol Sha'ato Mitzuva Al Domoi, Ata Mitzuva Loi Vorov. Anything that you're commanded with regard to a blood prohibition, and you notice that the issue of the blood was cited at the beginning of this pasuk, at the bottom of Amud Beis, and we have included the pasuk also in the margin, so you can see it as a continuous flow. So they are of the opinion that all creatures in which there is a blood prohibition, and the blood prohibition applies across the boards, whether it's kosher variety or unkosher variety creatures. So anything that you're commanded regarding the blood, namely blood prohibition, Ata mitzuva al evorov, you're also commanded regarding the limb from that type of creature. And that was the latter part of the pasuk, which said, Lo yisoichal hanefesh im abosar. That was the azhora for aver minachai. Vahani temeyin, unkosher variety animals, nami hoyov ata mitzuva al domon, since we know there's a blood prohibition, ata mitzuva al evorov, one is prohibited likewise concerning the limbs from those animals, even the unkosher variety, removed from them while they're alive. For Rabbanan Safri, the Rabbanan look at the psukim differently. They hold, lo yisoichal hanefesh im habosar. This quote, which appeared at the end of the pasuk, is to be understood thusly. Ela basar luchudei. The pasuk says, don't eat the nefesh with the basar. Eat the basar alone. Kol shebasaro muter ata mitzuva alevorov. They derive from this that only creatures whose meat is muter to eat, in other words, kosher variety, only regarding those, one is warned against the limb removed from it. Ata mitzuva levorov. V'chol she'ein besoro muter. However, if it's a creature that the flesh is not muter, for example, unkosher variety animals, horses, camels, etc., I ata mitzuva alevorov. Regarding those, there is no prohibition, there is no command warning against the eating of limbs removed from them while alive. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.